Hi, and welcome to Common Denominator, straight-up conversations with me, Moshe Popak. This week, homeschooling and other alternatives to conventional education. My guest is Kimberly Morrow, a Harvard-educated advocate, author, and teacher who is the founder of the Doris L. Morrow Academy. She'll discuss the advantages of homeschooling your child and help you decide if it's right for you. Hi, Kimberly. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So I saw a recent stat about homeschooling went from, during this COVID period, during this kind of 19 months, 5.5% to over 11% in the U.S. Do you think that that's something that's here to stay and going to continue to grow?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And let me just kind of give you a little background. The last school, the last traditional type school where I worked was, I was the principal for a K-12 independent study school. And the one of the teachers and I, she was saying, people are going, this is going to be the future. And, you know, independent study, homeschooling, this is the future. People are going to get away from brick and mortar buildings and get away from traditional education, because I'm sure you know this, yes, the way they are currently teaching is the way I was being taught. And I graduated high school 35 years ago.
And it's funny, just the other day, just something simple. My 15-year-old, he pulls out his iPhone. He's like, oh, take a look at this. It's a picture of kids in a classroom with a whiteboard or blackboard at the time from 100 years ago.
Yes.
He's like, doesn't this say everything? He says to me.
Everything. It's like they have not caught up with the times.
So I know to a layperson, you know, let's say their kids in public school or private school, regular traditional brick and mortar. What are some different types of non-conventional schooling?
There are a lot of different online curriculums where I'll give you an example of one that I've used in the past, Time for Learning. That's a great one. I'm not trying to plug somebody's, you know, business, but I'm just saying that's a great one that I've used. They have these excellent videos that actually explain the problems, explain the work. So it's something where if a parent is not really sure, look, I'm a teacher and I tell my students all the time, I don't know everything. And so I would watch the videos with my students. I go, look, we need to learn this together because there are things that I don't know. So there are a lot, and that's just one company. There are a lot of other online platforms that have where they provide videos. Look, YouTube, you go on YouTube. I ask YouTube all the time. I need to know how to do this. Can you teach me? And then I Google it. And then there it is. There's a video. So it's not like it was in our parents' day where they had to solely rely on a textbook and try to figure it out.
And I always see also what's interesting is that if you just think about it, regular brick and mortar schools. So you go through the year in school, September to let's say May, and then they have off for 3 months. So think about when they come back, you know, fifth grade, sixth grade. It probably takes another like 3 months till they're acclimated. So imagine you can cut that out, right?
Exactly. But you're homeschooling your child. I mean, they're always learning. You don't necessarily, again, and when we say homeschool, it's not necessarily like they're sitting down with a paper and a book. And that's that's what many people conjure up in their mind. Like, okay, we're sitting down. We're actually physically working out these problems. I mean, learning is learning. I think the misconception when you hear school, it's you have to be sitting down at a table, reading a book or working out problems. When learning is you can learn anywhere and you can learn in any way.
I do want to ask you about your academy, but first, I want to remind our listeners, this is the Common Denominator podcast, and my guest is advocate, author, and teacher, Kimberly Morrow. If you're enjoying this episode, please subscribe on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts, and we'd be grateful for any 5-star ratings. Plus, we'd love to hear from you. If you have feedback about the show, Send us your comments on Twitter at mpopak. Now, back to the show. Let's talk about kind of high level, your academy, Doris El Moro Academy. What's your, I guess, the mission statement? What's your, what are the goals? What would you love to see from the children that you work with?
I want to see students love learning and not just think of it as, it's just for me to get this grade, or it's just for me to check this box. You know, learning is a lifelong journey. And once I get a kid to understand that it's not about the grade, it's not about checking off that box, it's about the knowledge itself. It's just about the sheer joy of learning. And then of course, you know, part of our other mission is to get them, get their skills. You know, we want them to be able to communicate in writing and orally, want them to be able to problem solve, to think critically. Those are important parts of our mission, but doing it in a way where it's relevant to them, you know, not just sitting up working out 100 math problems.
Right. No, because I know if we look at right, all the things that we did, even going through high school, it's in a practical level as adults, maybe of the information that we did in those brick and mortar schools, maybe 5-10%. I don't know.
Right.
We're not doing
right.
No calculus. Right. In our day to day, I always say, even in business, my business is in real estate. I always say it's literally kind of like fourth grade math. It's money comes in, there's expenses, and so it's plus, minus, equals, and that's right. And that's kind of how I see things in business. But I love what you're doing with creating the bug of people and the children wanting to critical think and wanting to learn lifelong. I consider myself a lifelong learner. And I love being around tinkerers, learners, and anybody that says they haven't figured it out, you run the opposite way, because we're constantly learning, right?
Exactly. And you know, a big thing, especially now, you know, not to shame this generation or us as parents, but a lot of children now just lack these problem-solving skills. Yeah. It's like, listen, you have to figure it out. And so instead of rushing to their rescue and saying, okay, let me do it for you, it's like they'll have a problem. And I'm not talking about a math problem or that type. I'm just talking about a problem in general. I'll be more concrete. So I have a student, we're doing an entrepreneurship lesson. And so she's making bracelets. And so the bracelet she made was too small for my arm. I said, okay, so what's another way you could do that? And so she had to think it through, like, okay, well, I guess I can make different sizes. I said, okay, but then that may take a little bit longer. And then I showed her another bracelet that I have. I said, well, what about this? She was like, oh, I could use something where it could stretch. And then she was searching it up and where can she find this material where she could use it for her bracelets. And so that is what I'm talking about, problem solving, where they have to try to come up with different ways to solve a problem rather than just us telling them.
What do you say about, you know, the number one thing when I started doing some homeschooling for some of my kids was the social aspect? What do you think about how do you mitigate the issue of the kids not getting too much social interaction?
So, well, with our school, we have incorporated park days. And so it's because I only have a few students. I have 4 students currently. But so every day we spend 30 minutes at the park. So at the end of our day, we go to the park. That gives them an opportunity, not just to socialize with one another, but the other kids at the park as well. So, and then, like I said, we do field trips. But my students also participate in activities outside of school, which a lot of kids do. Back to when you were a kid. I know my son did and my daughter did. So one of the students, she's in swimming. Another one, she's actually in dance class. So they do things outside of our academy that meets that socialization need.
So I'm going to ask you this trick, because I know I had this issue growing up, And some of my kids, I have eight boys, so boys are a little rambunctious, if we could say. So what's a trick to get, right, to get kids who have no interest in sitting down and learning, how do we get them actually to get motivated?
What I always tried to do, and this is even when I was a regular classroom teacher, so I've been doing this for years. I figure out what it is they're interested in. Because whatever they're interested in, I can figure out a way to make it fit with what we're doing. So I had this one kid, he was into ag. That was his whole thing. He had no interest in what we were doing. I taught history, really no interest in what we were doing in history class. So then when I put it to him in terms of, okay, well, let's look at the history of agriculture. Let's look at how they've gone from using these particular tools to using these tools. And when I started putting it in his language, something that he was interested in, then I hooked them. So once I get them hooked, then we can start moving into other areas. But first, I always figure out what it is they're interested in. And that's how I reel them in.
I love that because I know my brother, I know his son, no reading, no way. So he's like, okay, Archie comics. So he got him in, so he starts reading Archie comics. And now he's just been, you know, now he got the reading bug. So I've actually seen that. So thank you. That's actually practical, great advice.
Yes. And then another thing too is when, like, I can recognize when I have a student that can't sit down, you know. And so in a traditional classroom, most teachers are like, okay, you got to sit down. You got to sit down. You're driving me crazy. You got to sit down. But I would have students, because again, I'm used to boys. My son was like that. He had to walk. So I would tell the student, when he's standing up, I go, okay, no, I get it. You got to walk around. Go ahead and walk around. If you want to stand up and do your work, stand up and do your work. We got to stop oppressing them with how we think a classroom should look. You know, you should be sitting down and being quiet. No, why?
Because think about it, right? So think about it. As adults, fine, we got to sit that way. And I do like the training. It's good. But you know, they're kids, right? I think it's like, didn't you want to just have fun and run? Yeah, there is time for discipline. They have to know that, but right, like
it's like for some reason we feel like as children we have to treat them like mini adults.
Right.
And there are some adults. Me, I did not like to stay in the office. So when I loved being an administrator, because that meant I can walk around the school and talk to people and socialize and do what I love doing best. And then even when I was a teacher, people would be like, why are you tired? All you do is sit behind a desk all day. No, I don't know what teacher does that. I don't do that.
Sure. And it's funny.
I'm walking around and talking and engaging with the students. So
yeah, no, I love that. But I love that, by the way. And it's funny because people always ask me, it's like, why do you have 10 kids? I'm like, I'd rather just be around kids. If I could be a kid, I'd be a kid. You know, it's like, so
that's
I get that.
That's one of the reasons why I love teaching.
And I also love your backstory because I know you initially struggled, right, as a student. And so I love that journey, right? You have to like journey to find your way.
Yes.
And so you're coming from, you know, that struggle and then opening your academy.
Exactly.
Right. And then the conventional, right, the conventional school. So what made you transition from conventional school? It was like, what was the catalyst? You're like, you know what? I'm done with this. I'm going to go and open my own academy.
Well, I'll tell you, first of all, like I said, I was a principal of a K-12 independent study school. And I love the whole concept. I have to tell you and your audience this. I was anti parents homeschooling their children before I started working at this academy. I was the person who was like, how are they going to homeschool their children? They're not a teacher. You know, that was my whole thing. You're not a teacher. You can't homeschool your children. And so I was so against it. And then I started working at this school and I met this one particular teacher and she really explained to me what it was about and how we can partner partner with the parents to help them with this journey. And I was like, oh my God, I love this. And I started going to conferences and I really started learning all about, you know, what homeschooling and independent study was all about. And so when the pandemic hit and we were forced to do that distant learning, I was like, you know what? I can't do this. And so that I was like, you know what? I want to do more of what I was doing at the K through 12 independent study school. And I really want to be able to put my spin on it. You know, when you work for a district, obviously it's their vision. I have my own vision and I'm 2 years away from retirement. So I thought, you know what, if it doesn't work out, I'm retiring in a couple of years, it'll be okay. So this was my next chapter. So
that's really awesome. And I know also you wrote a book, Eight Pearls of Wisdom, right?
Yes.
So what would you say would be like the top two or three key takeaways from your book?
Use your child's interest as their gateway to learning. So that's actually the title of one of the chapters. And I did that with my son. My son had no use for humans. And I say humans because his love is animals. He had to do a project on the Civil War. He was not interested. And I said, go upstairs and get your animals. And he lit up. And then he identified which animals would be the Confederates, which would be the Union soldiers. And that was his gateway into that. And then we could start talking about other history lessons, not necessarily having to use animals, but that was my way in, because I took something that he loves so much and I used it to help him to get that topic. So that's one of the takeaways. Another one is with parents is just as you can start as early as you see fit to have them start thinking about careers, whether they're traditional careers or even untraditional careers, being an entrepreneur, by just exposing them to different things, by just taking them different places and just pointing out different people who work there. When I was growing up, the only jobs I really knew were teacher, police officer, fireman. Of course, I knew waitress. My mother was a waitress. You know, I knew certain jobs, lawyer, doctor, but there are so many careers I had no idea about. None whatsoever. And so just exposing children early. And again, these things don't cost money. It doesn't cost money to do virtual tours, go online and look stuff up. So yeah, some things that you can do for free. Yeah. And then the third takeaway is for parents, self-care. Because while we're doing all of these things to make sure that our children are taken care of, we got to remember to take care of ourselves. Because if we go down, are not going to.
I definitely second that, by the way, because in order to give the best to other people that you love and care about, you have to give the best version of yourself. So self-care. Yeah. So I'm definitely a proponent of that. And I want to thank you very much, Kimberly, for joining the show. And how could the audience learn more about your academy?
They can visit the school's website. It's dlmacademy.org. And they can learn all about the different programs that we offer. There are a number of resources. Even if they don't want to join our academy on this homeschool journey, there are resources available with different links to different materials. So they can visit the website.
It's really, really been a pleasure. Thank you so much, Kimberly. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Common Denominator podcast. Join us next week for another inspiring, impactful, and empowering conversation. To learn more about Moshe, head to moshepopak.com. If you enjoyed this episode, feel free to share it. And we'd be grateful if you could rate, review, and subscribe to the show.